I'm Lillian Vasquez, and this is Inland Edition. Our guest is Associate Professor Dr. Kiana Aran. She is with Keck Graduate Institute of Applied Sciences, part of the Claremont Colleges. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So you've been recognized by Nature Research in Science and Outreach in the category of Achievement for 2021, so congratulations on that. Will you share a little about the award and its recognition purposes? Why have you been honored, or what is the award about?
Yes, absolutely. I was the recipient of Nature Research Award, which is given to women in their early careers for their significant contribution to science. And it also recognizes women who are leaders and mentors. Oh. And I think it was a great honor for me to be the recipient of this award, because it was wonderful to see that the research and the work that I do also resonates with other people. And then my effort in promoting women in science also was recognized.
Oh, very good. Well, let's talk a little bit about that. But first, I want to ask you, what were your first thoughts when you learned you were receiving the award?
I was actually very surprised, because when I was shortlisted among five other women candidates, I was extremely happy, because that was already a win for me to be recognized amongst those women. During the ceremony, when I heard that I was the recipient of the award, I was very, very excited and very surprised also. So it was a great moment for me to be recognized in the way that Nature Research did.
Wonderful. So it's kind of like the Oscars, just being nominated is an honor. Is that what you felt like? And then to win was an even greater pleasure?
Yes, absolutely. Because they had about 180 candidates. And out of those 180 global candidates, they selected six women from all across the world. And then I was selected as the winner.
All right. Well, congratulations, as I mentioned. So here's what I want you to do now. Share your primary focus as a biomedical entrepreneur and a researcher, and how you fuse biology and technology.
So I'm an electrical engineer by training who is fascinated by biology. So throughout my career, during undergrad, graduate school, postdoc, and my professorship, I try to combine different disciplines together to really make impactful technologies. For me, biology is very, very fascinating. And biology is technology. There are so many enzymes, so many proteins that nature have developed over millions or billions of years with unmatched capability with the things that we human can actually synthesize and make. So my whole lab is focused on really looking around, looking at this biological molecule developed by nature and seeing how we can harness their power. One example is CRISPR. Many of us have probably heard about CRISPR if we're not familiar with it. It's this fascinating enzyme developed by bacteria as their immune response against viruses. Later on, around 2012, 2013, we learned how to use this enzyme to actually edit the genome, because this enzyme has the capacity to unzip our genome and look for specific target sequences. For me, the CRISPR biology was just amazing. It was just a robot. If you want to think about it in a simpler way, it's like, you know, when you hit Control F on your computer and you search for a word, and you have to find the word first before you can edit it. And that's what CRISPR does. CRISPR, it's programmed with an RNA molecule, and that RNA molecule, and together with the Cas enzyme, can basically do the search function for you. So for me, I thought, what if I could capture this potential, this capacity of this biology, this fascinating biology, and just observe it as it does what it is good at? And this is what I did. So I basically immobilized and captured the functionality of the wonderful biology and combined it with modern transistors to be able to monitor in real time what this enzyme was doing. And then as an example of application of what we can do with this sort of combination of technologies, I showed that we can, along with my team, we showed that we can really detect sequences, genetic diseases with this enzyme without having to go through extensive lab processes. And CRISPR is one example. There are so many enzymes with wonderful functionality that we can harness, that we can capture, and we can use biology as technology. So this is the whole theme of my lab, and we are developing other technologies based on this theme.
Wow. Now, I'm just going to say, I'm an English major, right? I'm a communications major, and science, not my strength. So that was overwhelmingly a lot of information. So I'm going to try and break it down just a little bit, and forgive me if I don't get it correct, but the CRISPR is just one thing. And through your technology and what you've studied and learned, what have been some of the outcomes? What have we seen because of what you guys are doing in the lab? What has the, you know, the common person seen better in their life because of this?
Absolutely. So what we were able to develop using this, our technology and our science, we developed the first transistors that can detect genetic mutation rapidly without any requirement for lab infrastructure or extensive processes. This is huge because, you know, a lot of us are maybe we have not touched the transistors, but transistor is this electronic component that is in every single gadget that we have, from our computers to cell phones to other electronics that we deal with on a daily basis. What my lab did, you know, we created the next generation of these transistors that can connect with biology in a way that they don't interfere with the function of biology. So now combining this modern electronic, which we humans have been mastering it, with technologies that nature offers us, we can create this wonderful tools. And the combination of transistors with CRISPR enabled us to have the world's first gadget that can detect genetic mutation rapidly.
Wow. Let me reintroduce our guest is Associate Professor Dr. Kiana Aran. She is with Keck Graduate Institute, part of the Claremont Colleges. Is it like a chip that you've created, or is it something that everybody can use now, or is it something still in your lab and it's still being worked on, or where are you and your lab in the process?
Yes, it is a chip. Okay. Basically, you can hold it in your hand, and all it requires is the genomic sample that we put on top of it. Of course, we have to extract the genomic material, but there are a lot of technologies that they can do that. But the technology is already out of my lab. We have It's basically one of the chipset that we offer in our company, CardiaBio, which I am one of the co-founders. And in our company, we scale up the manufacturing of this chip. And right now we work with a lot of partners that are, you know, utilizing the CRISPR chip, we call it, the CRISPR chip for many applications. These applications are ranging from detecting a genetic mutation in plants that a farmer can basically use the platform, a handheld system, where they can detect a genetic mutation in plants or other sort of genetic alteration, modification in plants. And we're also working with other partners where they're trying to develop better therapeutics, and they can use our chips for improving their methods. So the chip is already, you know, being utilized for our partners for different type of applications.
Okay, so it can be used in plants. So like farmers are able to use this chip and it tells them something they might not have otherwise known, and now they have this information at their hand?
Exactly. So, for example, imagine that there is an information that the farmer needs to know before they load their, you know, seeds or something, that they're trying to ensure that it's the right seed. They can basically just have a handheld system without any lab instruments or any other technologies. But they put the sample and they can detect those things. And again, I want to mention that the way we humans have been able to detect, for example, genetic mutations or diseases that are related to genes is through, you know, cutting the genome to multiple different pieces, then amplifying the target that we're interested in, then labeling it with optical labels, and then using optical system to detect it. So basically, based on one of my co-founders was saying, he says that, you know, we really run over the sample by bus before we can test it. In our technology, we're just using biology as the technology. Biology can do that in cells, and all we did, we captured the functionality of biology with our modern electronics.
And do you hear from or ever get feedback from maybe those that have benefited from your technology in that lab? You gave the farmers as an example, but have you heard back from different entities or different organizations or businesses of how your chip has been used and the effect that it's had?
So right now we are developing various type of product with our partners. So basically they have seen the outcome of us detecting those genetically related problems. with our chips. We have not distributed those chips because the model that our organization or the Kadia Bio works on, we don't want to develop products. We want to be like Intel inside, where you open up those instruments and you see, you know, Kadia's chip inside those instruments. And this is the way our business model works.
I see.
So in order for us to be able to answer your question in terms of what other organizations have given us feedback, we have not gotten there yet because, I mean, the technology is only a year and a half, 2 years old.
Oh,
since
I see.
The first time we published it. Yes.
Okay.
But having said that, I have had biologists with no background in electronics that have come to our company and they had samples and they tested our technology for the first time. And they were amazed by how we could basically shorten the lengthy process of genetic detection or disease detection in 15, 20 minutes with our technology.
And will it be diseases of all diseases, or will it be, I mean, you gave the example as farmers, but will it be used in people and how they can possibly detect diseases, or where do you see this going?
Yes, the combination of CRISPR and transistor is very powerful. Let me try to paint the picture here. The CRISPR technology, it's very versatile. That means that you can easily reprogram the molecule, the CRISPR complex, to detect different genetic diseases or different region in the genome or detect different mutation. On the other hand, transistors, you can, within a single chip, you can have hundreds or thousands of these transistors.
Wow.
So you can imagine a system that each of these transistors, with the help of one CRISPR complex, can detect one genetic mutation.
Mm.
Now you can really screen for many, many genetic mutations and genetic diseases within one chip. So right now, I mean, we are still developing the multiplex chip and the chip that has more than, you know, 416 transistors. But getting to a place where we have hundreds and thousands of these transistors on a single chip, that's not far from where we are today.
Wow. You're listening to Inland Edition on 91.9 KVCR. I'm Lillian Vasquez, and I'm speaking with Dr. Kiana Aran about her research at Cardeo Bio, which has recently earned her the award for scientific achievement in the Nature Research Awards for Inspiring Women in Science. We need to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll ask Dr. Aran how and when her love of science began. This is Inland Edition on KVCR. I'm Lillian Vasquez, and my guest today is Dr. Kiana Aran, Associate Professor at Keck Graduate Institute of Applied Sciences. Dr. Aran is also co-founder and chief scientist at Cardeo Bio, and she is the recent recipient of the Award for Scientific Achievement from the Nature Research Awards for Inspiring Women in Science. Dr. Aran, please tell us how and when you knew that science was a career for you, or that you had a love for science. Was it at a very early age?
That's a really good question. So both of my parents were teachers, so they made it very clear to us that education is one of the most important things. So for me, getting my PhD, it was not the path I chose. It was basically a thing that I knew from my childhood that was what I needed to do.
Mm.
Having said that, you know, I was always excelling in science. I loved math. I loved physics. I love all science disciplines. But my love for science got to a point where I could not see myself without doing science when I was a postdoc at Berkeley. In Berkeley, it was where I was able, as an inventor, just mix different sciences, be in charge of, you know, developing projects. And once I started creating things, this is when science became very, very interesting for me. And moreover, I think when I started collaborating with other scientists and really, you know, developed product or developed research projects that were super multidisciplinary, where I felt like I am learning on a daily basis from my colleagues, from other researchers, and we were not only creating the next technologies, but we were constantly learning. And as a scientist, you know, our brain feeds on learning things on a daily basis. So it was really, really satisfying for me. And today I cannot envision my life not doing science.
Have the tables turned? Are we seeing more women in the science and research field today than maybe when you were young or a little girl?
Yes. you know, we have done a great job by feeding the funnel and promoting, you know, women to be more involved in a STEM and science field. Mm-hmm. And we see that in universities compared, you know, to 10, 15, 20 years ago, you see significantly more women in many, many different disciplines. And most of the graduate degrees are awarded to women now, more than 50%. Mm. The problem is, you know, after graduation, there is no bridge to take these women who have been, you know, trained and who have been super successful to influential role in science. And this is still a gap. How do we actually, you know, take, you know, we fix the beginning of the funnel. How do we fix the end of the funnel to make sure that we are really using the great minds of every person who is trained, men or women? And I think this gap has to be really addressed. This issue has to be addressed because I think there is too much focus on what challenges exist for women. And challenges for women have been always been around. And the interesting thing is each of us are facing different challenges. Mm. Some of us, you know, like myself, you know, I come from a country with significant war and you know, significant limitation. Other people have, you know, maybe different sort of challenges. And some people may not even have challenges during their childhood or any financial or economical, you know, challenges. But, you know, once they get to those graduate programs, they don't have a path or role models to actually take it to the next level. Mm. So I think the focus, we have to really shift our focus to not only on what are the challenges, what are the roots of the problem, but also how do we feed more women? How do we put more women in influential and leadership roles where they can also leave an impact with all the training that they have received? So this is something that I want to work on. This is something that, you know, we're trying to figure out if we can work together with other scientists, because me and the 180 other women who were selected by Nature for this award and were candidates, we're just a small pool of many, many talents that exist in universities and in academia. How do we actually take that talent? Because I think through collaboration, through, you know, bringing all the science minds together, this is the only way that we can leave an impact on the world with our science.
And what do you say and how do you encourage young women in this field?
I have one thing that don't focus on limitations. Mm. You know, there are so many limitations. They can be societal, you know, economical, many other limitations. But shift your focus on the possibilities. You know, we as humans have extraordinary abilities to shape our future. So I think that's number one advice. And also being resilient in achieving your goal. You know, right. If you fail, take those failure as the steps towards success. And being resilient, I think it's these two things are really important.
So not be discouraged and keep moving forward. So who was your mentor?
So that's a very difficult question. Well, I admired many women, mm-hmm. you know, many science women in science. But to be honest with you, like, there are not many roles for women in a strong leadership roles. There are a few. And for me, the way I was doing things, you know, between academia and industry, where many people were telling me, how can you do both? It's impossible. And I was actually really enjoying doing both, and I'm still enjoying doing both, because I'm learning to be a better scientist by being involved in academia, because I know what it takes to take a product to market now. I understand at least better, so I can design better research projects and be impactful. For me, it was just focusing on my goals. And, you know, my background is a bit different and I had to overcome many limitations throughout my life. So failure was not a showstopper for me, never. Having said that, you know, I would love to see more women leaders for younger generation to motivate them to see that, you know, it's not impossible. It's not only, don't focus on saying that it's very difficult to work in a male-dominated field, you know, and we, to be honest with you, we should not be asking this question, because you're creating a fear in women that working in this sort of environment, it's very, very challenging. It's right. Very difficult before even, you know, giving them a chance to try it. So I think this is something that we need to really think more carefully about, you know, thinking about the root of the problem. It's good, but also thinking about how do we create more role models that other women can basically look up to.
You were your own motivator then. You had it in your blood just to keep going and because you loved it so much.
Mostly, and also, you know, all of my life experiences, you know, and we survived war. We survived many other challenges in our life. So this, you know, some challenges that might look very big were not big because I have, you know, we have experienced the fear of death. So there is nothing beyond that, right? So they're different. They're different. But again, I also had a lot of opportunities here in America. And I took advantage of those. You know, there's a lot of things that we are offered in universities. There's so many potential for our growth and just really taking advantage or for what's in front of you, focusing on the positive. It was a major, major driving force for me.
Okay. And lastly, I have to ask this. The winner receives a prize of $40,000 and an invitation to attend the award ceremony in London. So will you be attending and how do you plan to use your prize money?
I'm planning to use all the prize money to pay it forward to establish this nonprofit organization called the Orion Nebula. The nebula is where the stars are born, you know, and many friends and many colleagues are helping me to establish that. And we're going to run this together to help other women and pay it forward with the hope that those women also pay it forward. So all the award money will go towards that. And I'm waiting to see if with the COVID situation, if the ceremony will be still in place. So we're waiting to hear from them.
Well, very good. Well, congratulations. It's been a pleasure speaking with you and learning a little bit more about the science world, which is sometimes, for some of us, not the path that we chose. But thank you so much for sharing and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Kiana Aran was just named the winner for the Scientific Achievement in the Nature Research Award for Inspiring Women in Science. She is an associate professor at Keck Graduate Institute, a member of the Claremont Colleges, and co-founder and chief scientific officer for Cardeo Bio. Find information on today's topic online at CardeaBio, CardeoBio.com. Again, that's CardeaBio.com. We'll include this web link and others with this episode on our program page. Join us again next week for Inland Edition, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. and 6:30, right here on 91.9 KVCR. To hear this episode and past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/Inland Edition. You can also listen to Inland Edition on iTunes, Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts, or search for Inland Edition on your favorite streaming service. Inland Edition is a production of KVCR News. Support for this production, including writing and editing, comes from Sharina Wad, Rick Duluck, and David Fleming. And we get technical website and social media support from Tim Steidel, Sean Houlihan, and Natasha Coles. I'm your host, Lillian Vasquez. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.